Svarno Parshas Matos Masei. So the Parsha begins with the Pasuk, Zeha Devar Asher Tziva Hashem, Ishki Dor Neder Lashem. So this is the thing that Hashem commanded. When a person makes a neder to Hashem, Lo Yachel Dvaro, they should not make their words chulin, they should keep what they said. But what does it mean, Zeha Devar Asher Tziva Hashem? What exactly is that referring to? This is the thing that Hashem commanded. So the Svarno said it's referring back to Parshas Kedoshim, in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yud Beis, it says, V'lo sishavu v'shmi la'shakir, don't swear in my name falsely, v'chilat Hashem elokech ani Hashem, and you'll be mechal on my name. So, it's referring to that. This is the thing that Hashem was speaking about. When he said that, it's ki yidor nedel Hashem, lo yachel dvaro. Don't make your words chulin, because you're making a chalal Hashem. When you make your words chulin, it's a chalal Hashem, and therefore, don't swear falsely. Okay, then Klal Yisrael is commanded to attack Midian, and they're supposed to hirgu kol zachar, supposed to kill all the males. And besides that, kalisha yodas ish lemishkav zachar. So, why do you have to kill all the males? Even batav, all the males, we understand, they'll come and make war. Why do you have to kill even the boy children? So that's, says the Sfarno explains, because this is a war of nakama. This is not a stam war. This is a war where they went out, the Midianite women went out to seduce the Jews and destroy their neshamas. So this is a war of nakama. So in that case, they don't just kill the males, they kill the male children too, so that they shouldn't have any zecher. So that's part of nakama. And the women is, that's because they were the ones who caused the sin, the ones that were Yodea Mishkam Zachar. Okay, later on we have Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven saying that they wanted to get their nachla in Eiv HaYarden. So Moshe's response is, "Vayomer Moshe l'Bnei Gad v'Bnei Reuven, Hachichem yavel melchama v'atem teishvuvo po. Your brothers are going to go to war, and you're going to stay here. V'lama sinin es bnei Yisrael me'avor l'aretz. Why are you trying to make it that people don't want to cross into? They'll be afraid to cross into Eretz Yisrael." So the Svarno just explains what that means was, Hachichem yavel melchama, like, you know that's not happening. You're going to sit here and chill while your brothers go to war, and you're just not going to take part. So you know that that's not going to work. In other words, everybody conquered the lands that you're in. They all worked for that. And now they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and you're not going to help. And you think your brothers are going to be okay with that? So that's what Moshe is asking them. You know it's not going to be okay. And therefore, why are you saying this? You know it's an automatic no. So you're just doing that to make people not want to go into Eretz Yisrael. So it's the very question is an avera, because you know that it's a no, and it would only be just to cause trouble. So of course, then they explain themselves that no, we don't expect to stay here. We're going to go in, and we're going to help with the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. So now, the Sfarno points out, you got to look. There's different stages of Moshe's agreeing to this. So first, they give him the plan. That they're going to go ahead and conquer Eretz Yisrael with everybody, and they want to get the land on Eiv HaYarden. So Moshe's response is like this. He says, "If you're going to do this, va'avar lachem kol chalutzas haYarden, and you are kovish zaretz va'achar teshuvu, and afterwards you go after Eretz Yisrael's conquered, you Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven will go home." And this land will be for you for Achuzah l'fnei Hashem, meaning after that. You'll go conquer Eretz Yisrael, and then you'll go home, and then the land will be yours. And if not, it's a big chait. And I guess they were going to build, when he says, B'nu lachem arim l'tapchem, it meant temporary cities, like till you get back. But you don't get it yet. You have to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Afterwards, then, Ha'isaret says, Oslachem l'achuzah l'fnei Hashem. You don't own it yet. Okay, that's what Moshe said. Now, Bnei Gad, when they did this, responded like this. Vayomer Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, and Moshe, Avadecha Yasru Kasher Nonri Mitzvah, will do what you said. Tapenu Nashenu Mekneinu Mechom Behemtenu, Yiru Sham Baria Gilad. We'll stay here. I mean, our kids will stay here, and we'll go before you to war. I guess the Sfarno understood that to mean that they were saying, well, just not in order. We're going to keep our cattle here in Ari HaGilad, In other words, we're going to get that first. Then we'll go to war. I don't know if it's so much for that way in the pasuk, because that pasuk of Bnu Lachem Arim Latapchem sounds like Moshe was telling them to do it now. So, anyway, I'm not sure. Maybe the Sfarim understood that that meant that they should do it after they get back. I don't know. But either way, he understands that when they repeated themselves, they said, our cattle are going to stay here in Ari Gilad, as in, like, we own this now. Then we go to war. But we get it now, not later. It's more explicit in the second version, in the Tanai Kalfa version of it. So there, Moshe again seems to repeat and says, in Pasuk Chavtes, he tells, you know, the Yehoshua and Elazar that if they go with you, Kol Chalutz Melchama, and they are COVID, V'nich B'sharetz V'nichem, V'nesatim Lem Eretz Agulah L'Achuzah. Sounds again like, after they do that, then you give them Eretz, this land as L'Achuzah. And it says after that again, Bayanu B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven Le'emor, Nachnu Na'avor Chalutzim L'fnei Hashem Eretz Kenan, we will go do that, V'itano, but already with us, is Achuzas Nachalaseinu Me'ever L'Yardein. There it's a little more explicit, that B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven are saying, we own it now, not afterwards, now. Itanu Nachalaseinu, it's already with us, Achuzas Nachalaseinu Me'ever L'Yardein. And the next pasuk says, "V'itel haMoshe l'vnegan aviv v'lachasem shlavas v'mlachasich roti." Gave it to them. Then, the Sfarno says, Moshe acquiesced. In other words, Moshe did not want it that way. He wanted them to get it only after the war's over. Then he got to Reuven and said, "No, we kind of need it now, and we'll just do the Tanai." And "V'itel haMoshe," the Sfarno says, "Kadesh shelo lehikanis b'machlokas." Moshe agreed to not get in a fight with them, which is very interesting. Okay, then we have Parshas Maaseh, where it lists their travels, and the Sfarno says this is to tell their schusim about how much they traveled and how much they endured, and they followed Hashem in the Midbar. And then he says something absolutely fascinating. Probably most people do not spend time thinking about this. Pasuk Beis, just look in Parshas Maaseh right at the beginning, Pasuk Beis. V'yichtav Moshe, see if you can translate it. It's almost impossible. V'yichtav Moshe es motza'ehem l'maseihem al pi Hashem v'yila maseihem l'motza'ehem. And just try translating those words. Moshe wrote their motzaihem, their goings, lemasehem, to their trips, al pi Hashem. First, like, motzaihem is the first word. Second word is masaehem. Their goings out, motzah is to go out. Their goings out of somewhere, lemasehem, to their trip to go somewhere, al pi Hashem. Ve'ele, and these are masaehem, their trips, lemotzaihem, from the place they left. It's weird, but what exactly does that mean? So Sfarno says, Motzaihem is where they came from. Masehem, where they're going. Their trip to go somewhere. Motzaihem is leaving where they are. So in one place you have it saying that they went out from some place to go someplace. The second one says they went someplace having come out of someplace. What is that supposed to be telling you? So it's saying that sometimes the place where they were going was awful. I'm sorry, the place where they were was awful, and the place they were going to was good. And sometimes you had the opposite. Sometimes the place they were leaving was great, and the place they were going to was not great, was bad. So it has both. Sometimes it was motza'ehem l'masehem, and sometimes it was masehem l'motza'ehem. So it's trying to teach you the Mesiris Nefesh involved in all their Masos, because that's what the Sfarno said was the point of all this, to tell you there's chusim that they followed Hashem. So sometimes they were leaving from a good place, going to a bad place, and sometimes they were going from a bad place to a good place. Whatever, you get it, both the opposites. So it wrote both ways, Motzaihem l'maseihem, and Maseihem l'motzaihem. And furthermore, sometimes they would leave after a couple of days, like it says before, or they didn't know where they were going. So that's why he says, and it doesn't just keep saying, like, they went from place A, and then they traveled, and then, like, a long list of, you know, you could have had a pasuk that was, you know, 45 lines long kind of thing. It just said, they left place A, and they went to here, and then 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 here. We don't have that. We have Vayisu, Vayachnu, Vayisu, Vayachnu. It's to tell you that that there's a mysterious nefesh in every one of them. Either they're going someplace worse, or they were going someplace better, or it was equal. But either way, it was leaving and traveling, and they didn't know where they were going and what was doing, so that it was all difficult. Okay, he also mentions as far as the land in Eivar HaYarden that B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven got, he says that it has no Kedushas Eretz Yisrael at all, which I don't know is so Pashut. I believe it's a discussion if it maybe has some areas in which it is Kadosh. But anyway, the Sfarno says that it is not Kadosh at all. Eretz Yichem V'og did not have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael at all. I mean, the Rabbanans maybe, but the Raisin had no Kedusha whatsoever. Okay, then we have the Parsha of killing B'Shogeg, and meaning the Ari Miklat, I should say, that there's such a thing as an Ari Miklat, that someone who kills B'Shogeg goes to an Ari Miklat until the Kohen Gadol dies. Okay, so now, when does someone go to an Ari Miklat? Well, if it's Mazid, they did it on purpose, certainly they do not go to Ari Miklat. There are many cases where even if it's an accident, they don't go to Ari Miklat. If it's a total onus, they don't go to Ari Miklat either. It really depends on the case. How much of a show gig was it? You know, they should have been more careful with their ex than they go to the Ari Miklat. There's all kinds of details. But even within the details, some are more Karov L'Mezid than others. There are some cases wherein someone kills someone by accident, and it's a show gig technically, but it's very borderline, you know, it's borderline a Mezid. It's like a Pshia kind of almost. So that's one kind of person who would be in an Ari Miklat. Then there's someone who's more closer for it to being a real accident, not really his fault, but still within the realm where he has to go to an Ari Miklat. So there's different levels. So he says something fascinating, that usually we understand this thing with the Kohen Gadol dying, that, you know, it says the mother of the Kohen Gadol would go around giving out food to all the people in Ari Miklat, so they shouldn't daven that her son should die, right? So the Sfarno says that this is all orchestrated by Hashem. A person, if they're going to be going to an Ari Miklat, Hashem will make it that this situation happens as close to the Kohen Gadol's death as this person deserves. In other words, let's say the person is going to do an act of killing B'Shogeg as Karov L'Mezid, not Karov enough to Mezid that he can't go to an Ari Miklat. It's still called B'Shogeg, but it's a pretty bad Shogeg. So Hashem will make him that situation happened well before the Kohen Gadol dies, like when he's nice and young. And lahapach, if a person is a real shogeg, that technically has to go to Ari Miklat, but it's a real borderline onus, Hashem make it happen near where the Kohen Gadol is supposed to die. And Sfarno just says, because this whole situation was set up by God. Plus, back in Shmos, when we talked about, Sefer Shmos and Parshas Mishpatim, when we talked about Ari Miklat, there it says, V'Elokim ina liyado. Hashem set it up. Hashem made this situation happen. So, this goes especially well with, if you look at Rashi back there. Rashi said the case is talking about when there were two guys. One guy killed B'Mezid, and nobody caught him. And one guy killed B'Shogeg, and nobody caught him. And Hashem makes it that these guys meet each other, and the guy who killed B'Mezid gets accidentally killed by the guy who already killed once B'Shogeg, so he kills again B'Shogeg, and this time he goes to Gullus. So that's like a setup. So Hashem sets that up with in mind when the Kohen Gadol is going to die, based on how big of a Rasha the guy is. That's basically what he's saying. Okay, one last thing about the Benos Tzalafchad. It said the Benos Tzalafchad were told to marry within their Shevet, so that the Nachala won't switch. And then the Pasuk tells us that they married within their families. They all married their cousins. So the Sfarno just points out, you know, it's not telling you that for no reason. They didn't just happen to marry cousins. They could have married anyone in the whole Shevet. They specifically married their cousins on purpose. Why? Because they saw Hashem didn't want Nachla moving from people. So even though Hashem only commanded them to stay within their Shevet, they did one better. They saw it was Ratzon Hashem that people's Nachla should stay with them, so they even kept within their family, so that the Nachla should not move at all. This again to show their tzidkus that they wanted to do Ratzon Hashem.